This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
From pop culture to politics, this is the Michael Medved Show.
Another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, a particularly great day for Republicans. Why? Because the convention, the Republican convention, got off to a roaring start in last night's program. I'm not talking about the afternoon session where they had a fairly feeble roll call and a surprise appearance by President Trump and by Vice President Pence. The real appearance by President Trump that will get national coverage and will matter comes on Thursday night when he makes his acceptance speech. And based upon the quality of the speeches last night and the effectiveness of the speeches, with maybe two exceptions, but generally it was a bang up night. It was one of the best nights for a Republican convention that I can remember. I've been to 12 different conventions, by the way, of both parties, and this was extraordinarily well put together, well staged, well produced. And one of the points that my friend John Podhoretz makes about this is it's ironic. Which party is the party of Hollywood? Which is the party of glitz and show business? And, it's the Democrats, of course. And this so far exceeded anything the Democrats put together just in terms of the staging of it, which is very, very difficult in the midst of a pandemic. They had a great location. They were at the Mellon Auditorium in Washington, D.C., which looked like an ancient Greek temple, or you might have thought that they were at the side of the Lincoln Memorial. There were visions of the Lincoln Memorial and the Washington Memorial and the White House, of course, and then a few scenes inside the White House with President Trump interacting very effectively with hostages he had liberated from various parts of the world. A great look for the president. He also interacted with first responders, with nurses, with some police officers. Oh, yes, this was the convention that mentioned the word police, which the Democrats didn't do. And I mentioned at the time, when we were covering the Democratic convention last week, that the failure to take advantage of any kind of support for police officers was going to come back and bite the Democrats. Well, it came back and bit with a vengeance last night because, of course, the Republicans clearly showed that this was a party on the side of policing. By the way, there's a startling story, an earth-shaking story, and it's about black neighborhoods and black activists pushing back against defund the police, saying, hey, we live in these neighborhoods and we need and value and want more police, not fewer. We will get to that also on an extraordinarily busy day. There's also the new embrace of segregation. Yes, segregation. That's right. Dividing where people live according to their race, by a major left-wing university. It's astonishing. We will cover that as well. We'll also be speaking with Gerald Seib of the Wall Street Journal about the Republican Party and its state right now, which appears to be united and energized and increasingly optimistic, and the future of the Republican Party after Trump. Whether that means after this November, after the next January, or whether it means in January of 2025. 1-800-955-1776 is our phone number. You know what's the proof that the Republicans had a terrific night last night? And particularly hats off to Tim Scott, who gave one of the great convention speeches ever. Really, I thought it was that good. We will get back to Senator Scott, but the proof that this was very effective is there are prominent Democrats who are now willing to concede or not. Hillary Clinton, and she continues to be an embarrassment, I think, for her party. And I do suspect that Vice President Biden would kind of wish that she would be a little bit more quiet. She was doing an interview with a former campaign aide of hers, Jennifer Palmieri. You may remember her. She was on TV a lot during the campaign of 2016. And this was for Showtime's show, The Circus. And here's what Hillary said about Joe Biden losing. Listen.
You know, Joe Biden should not concede under any circumstances, because I think this is going to drag out, and eventually I do believe he will win if we don't give an inch and if we are as focused and relentless as the other side is.
Okay, he should not concede under any circumstances. You know what she's saying? She's saying she wishes she hadn't conceded. And by the way, Al Gore is also up there talking about. Yeah, well, not quite in those terms. But when Democrats are talking about conceding, I mean, literally last week at the time of their convention, all you heard about is how far ahead Biden is and how he is sure to win. Nobody can be sure of how this election is going right now. There's all kinds of new polling data that shows this is a close, close race. Okay, it's not close in New York State. Biden's ahead in New York State by over 30 points. Okay, that's granted. But Minnesota, which is a state that Hillary carried, she carried it narrowly last time. Minnesota's a tie right now between Biden and Trump. And this is before the Republican convention. And again, part of what worked so well with that convention is the Republicans rediscovered something that President Reagan knew all about, which is storytelling. With lots and lots of individual Americans getting up there and telling their stories, and the stories were compelling. They were well told. They weren't interrupted by that sort of theme music at the Democratic convention, which was lame. And it wasn't interrupted by Hollywood entertainers. You may remember the Democrats had four different Hollywood stars, beginning with Eva Longoria and then going to Tracy Ellis Ross, the daughter of Diana Ross, and then going to Julia Louis-Dreyfus on the last night, Kerry Washington on the third night, who probably did the best of them. But still, what do you need that for? This is a political convention. And instead of featuring all kinds of entertainers, this convention opened as well as any convention I've ever watched. What was the opening shot? The opening shot was a shot at sunset of the Statue of Liberty. And then you come forward and you see His Eminence Cardinal Timothy Dolan, who is the leading Roman Catholic official in the country. Now, he was very careful in his invocation. He did not say, "I am endorsing President Trump," or "I'm endorsing the Republicans." He spoke for both parties, but he began this phrase, pray we must, talking about the difficulty that our country is in right now. It was wonderfully effective, set just the right tone. And then we had a parade of speeches, and some of the speeches, okay, they were filler, but they all added up to a series of stories. And the stories were stories of hope and patriotism. And by the way, featuring lots and lots and lots of women, which is a group where President Trump could do better, and African Americans. And one of the most memorable speeches from a Latino. We will get to all of that coming up on The Medved Show. 1-800-955-1776 if you want to share your reaction.
I'm, of course, deeply honored to receive
The Michael Medved Show.
Politicians and the media will never mention one of the biggest challenges facing the health and well-being of every American, the explosion of junk science in our country. That's why I'm so grateful for the American Council on Science and Health, a 501c3 nonprofit whose mission is to separate fact from fiction and health scares from legitimate health threats. You've probably heard all sorts of junk science about red meat causing cancer or climate change destroying all life on Earth. Thankfully, ACSH fights back, but they need your help. Visit the website today, acsh.org.
During this time, perhaps more than ever, we're looking for things to binge watch, read, and listen to, because we're spending more time at home than ever before. So here at the MedVet Show, we want to extend a special offer to listeners right now who've not yet taken the leap to become a MedHead Premium subscriber. If you go to michaelmedved.com, click on the MedHead banner, and use the promo code SPRING40, you'll get $20 off an annual membership. In addition to that, for new members or existing MedHead members, we've discounted everything at the MedVet History Store by 50%.
Did you know precious metals have a solid history of outperforming the stock market during tough economic times? Chatting with my good friend Nick Rovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, he warned me there are severe shortages of gold, silver, and platinum right now. Now, many dealers have nothing to sell. So right now, AmFed is helping hundreds of people acquire bullion. They're open for business with some staff working from home, and they can lock you in precious metals at a very fair price. Nick has been in the industry for over 40 years. He knows the intricacies of every market condition, what to buy now, and what you should avoid. He's the only person, really, that I trust for solid advice and the one person you need to talk to about this situation. Call AmFed Coin and Bullion at 800-221-7694 or visit AmericanFederal.com. That's AmericanFederal.com or 800-221-7694.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamG'day.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamG'day.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamG'day.com with Longevity. TeamG'day.com.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often, the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now. 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Michael Medved.
Being so huge and everything, he just represents so much. Just groundbreaking, history making, you know, just what an incredible moment.
This is the Michael Medved Show.
Okay, it is an incredible moment, and it's an incredible moment to look at double standards. And I mention that because it is so glaring with some of the statements that are being made by Hillary Clinton. We just played it for you. She says Joe Biden should not concede under any circumstances, and then talks about how we're going to contest the election and the election's going to drag on and it's not going to be settled. In fact, let's play that again. And what you need to do is try to imagine that President Trump said such a thing, or somebody supporting President Trump said such a thing. Let's say that Lindsey Graham, the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, big supporter of President Trump, that he said, no, President Trump should not concede under any circumstances because the election is going to drag on, etc. Here is what Hillary Clinton said in an interview for the Showtime show, The Circus. Listen.
You know, Joe Biden should not concede under any circumstances because I think this is going to drag out, and eventually I do believe he will win if we don't give an inch and if we are as focused and relentless as the other side is.
Okay, what she's saying by don't concede is basically contest the election. And President Trump, when he said stuff like that, he said they're trying to rig the election, they're trying to steal it. He gets slammed. And by the way, it's right to slam him on that. Neither side should be doing this. But the fact that President Trump gets criticized, and criticized fairly enthusiastically, including on this show, and Hillary Clinton and the Democrats do not get criticized for the same thing, for casting doubt on the election result. I mean, one of the things that I have not heard the entire interview yet, but the natural question to ask Hillary Clinton is, okay, do you feel now that you made a mistake to concede to Donald Trump? Now, she didn't lose by 527 votes, which is what Al Gore lost by in one state in Florida. She lost by 77,000 votes in three states. It was very close. In those three states, it was very close, particularly in Michigan. But it was thousands of votes. And there was no alternative for her but to concede, unless she really wanted to louse up. Can you imagine if Hillary Clinton hadn't conceded? I mean, given how crazy it was, as it was, with her doing a gracious concession. But you remember the day after the inauguration, they had the all the little pink hats marching in resistance in Washington, D.C. by the hundreds of thousands. I mean, honest to goodness, if you're going to criticize Trump for casting doubt on the election result, what about criticizing Hillary?
Woo, and, okay.
And that brings up Nancy Pelosi, because do you remember when Trump, it was 2017, he sent a series of tweets, and he repeated it several times. He said that the media, the press, are the enemy of the American people. And using that kind of phrase was outrageous. It's wrong to do it. You can say, but to say you're the enemy of the people. Now listen to Nancy Pelosi on MSNBC, and again, she has not received the kind of condemnation that President Trump very, very pointedly received. Here is Nancy Pelosi from this morning. Actually, it's from yesterday. With Airman Mo Yeldon of MSNBC. Listen.
We take an oath to protect and defend the Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic. And sadly, the domestic enemies to our voting system and our honoring our Constitution are right at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue with their allies in the Congress of the United States.
Okay. This is outrageous. She, our domestic enemies, she says, the domestic enemies to our voting system and honoring our Constitution, that she believes she took an oath to defend America against Donald Trump and his allies. Look, this is exactly the wrong approach. And again, last night they honored Thomas Jefferson, and good for them. There were a few shots of the great statue at the Jefferson Memorial, and then the great words on the wall of the Jefferson Memorial, and the walls of the Jefferson Memorial that honor his words say nothing about slavery other than a brief excerpt that actually condemns slavery, which Jefferson also said. But Jefferson made the point after a contested election, we have called by different names brethren of the same principle. And every difference of party is not a difference of principle. We are all Republicans. We are all Federalists. And that approach is sadly lacking tonight. One of the reasons I think that Tim Scott, the concluding speaker for the Republicans last night, one of the reasons I thought he did so extraordinarily well was the tone. The tone of Senator Scott's speech was, yes, it was strongly supporting President Trump, and it was strongly criticizing Vice President Biden. But the point about this was that he was talking in a way that could actually persuade people, not just rally the base. For instance, when he spoke about the arc of American history, this is clip three, Jeremy, when the arc of American history moving in the right direction, especially given his story, it was profoundly moving. Listen.
We live in a world that only wants you to believe in the bad news, racially, economically, and culturally polarizing news. The truth is, our nation's arc always bends back towards fairness. We are not fully where we want to be, but I thank God Almighty, we are not where we used to be. We are always striving to be better. When we stumble, and we will, we pick ourselves back up and try again. We don't give in to cancel culture or the radical and factually baseless belief that things are worse today than in the 1860s or the 1960s. We have work to do, but I believe in the goodness of America.
And why? He explains why, telling the story of his family's journey. We will get to that. We're going to be speaking with Gerald Seib, who has been watching the convention closely, of course. He's with the Wall Street Journal, Washington editor. He has a new book about the Republican Party after Trump. Gerald Seib, coming right up.
Michael Medved.
Look him in the eye and say loudly and clearly, back up, you creep.
It's the Michael Medved Show.
Get away from me.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump in a tweet saying he will nominate Chad Wolf, the acting Secretary of Homeland Security, to serve permanently in the role. Wolf has overseen the DHS in an acting capacity since November of 2019. Hurricane Laura could spell big trouble for parts of the Gulf Coast. It's expected to become a major hurricane as it approaches Texas and Louisiana. That means it could have winds over 110 miles per hour. It's about 550 miles southeast of Lake Charles, Louisiana. Louisiana resident Robert LaCampo telling Fox News he's ready.
At a Cat 2, and we're on the eastern side of it, where it hits west of us, like they're talking about it during Lake Charles. You know, we're going to be on the wet side, not only the wet side, but we're going to be on a tidal surge side.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Michael Medved Show, President Trump nominated by acclamation. It was unanimous with the 336 delegates who were gathered in Charlotte, North Carolina yesterday. He's now running for a second term. A lot of people look back on President Trump's victory in 2016, believe it was an aberration. Even some of his admirers believe it was divine intervention. It was a miracle. But Gerald Seib of the Wall Street Journal says we should have seen it coming. That's the title of a truly important new book that if people want to understand the campaign ahead, they've got to read about the campaign that Trump concluded so successfully in 2016. Gerald Seib is the executive Washington editor for the Wall Street Journal. And the book is just published, subtitled From Reagan to Trump, A Front Row Seat to a Political Revolution. Gerald, let me ask you, first of all, about your conversation with President Trump over the weekend. He said something that surprised you. What did the president say?
Well, he said a couple of things that surprised me. And first of all, happy to be on with you again. And, you know, the president called me in response to excerpts from the book that ran in the journal to say that he found it interesting and enjoyable. And he said several things that were surprising. First, he said he's very confident he's going to win, but that's kind of what you'd expect.
That's not a surprise. Of course he's confident.
Of course he's going to say that, right, exactly. More surprising, he said, we're going to take back control of the House. which is to say Republicans, who are now 34 seats down in the House, and most people think they're going to expand that majority. He says they're going to lose that majority, and Republicans will be in charge. And, you know, I talked with him about his history of being a kind of an anti-establishment outsider. He said, I still feel like an outsider. I feel like an outsider within my own party sometimes, which says a lot about the whole Donald Trump phenomenon and what a departure it represents from traditional Reagan-style conservatism that had been the norm for most of the last 40 years of the Republican Party.
Which is what you write about in the book. It's posted on our website, the new book, We Should Have Seen It Coming. In terms of seeing it coming, let's look ahead to the campaign that is about to take shape after the first night of the Republican convention. Was there any aspect of the convention last night that surprised you or that I provided some hint of surprises for the campaign ahead?
Well, not so much a surprise, but maybe kind of a validation of some of the points we've been talking about. You always had two different convention nights. There was the rather more conventional speeches by Nikki Haley and Senator Tim Scott, which were kind of conventional in tone and substance, and in many ways, particularly Nikki Haley, but also Tim Scott, kind of hewed to the traditional Republican conservatism. And then you had the rest of it, which was very much more populist, nationalist, kind of Trump-style biting that was less about policy and more about attitude and more about anti-liberalism as much as pro-conservatism. And that's kind of still the story of the Republican Party. And Donald Trump has put his stamp on it, but both of those strains still run through the party. I thought there might be a little bit more, and this is based in part on what the president told me over the weekend, I thought there might be a little more policy substance and a little more positive messaging, but it was a pretty harsh indictment of Joe Biden and the Democrats for the most part.
It certainly was that. I mean, I think some of the uplift you got, particularly in Senator Tim Scott's speech, I know that there are at least some murmurs right now that based upon that effective speech, which has been drawing very positive reviews, Tim Scott might be one of those people who's a potential successor to President Trump as the Republican nominee or as a president. What do you think?
I think there's no doubt that he put himself on that list, much as Barack Obama put himself on that kind of list for the Democrats in 2004 with a very effective convention speech. I suspect Tim Scott did the same thing last night. And, you know, there's an interesting 2024 audition going on in the background of this convention anyway. You know, Nikki Haley is in that category of potential successors in 2024 to Donald Trump. Mike Pompeo, who's going to talk tonight, is as well. Maybe Tim Scott is now on that list. I mean, Donald Trump Jr., frankly, is somebody that people talk about in that context. I think that's a little bit more of a stretch. But, you know, certainly what Tim Scott did was put a different kind of face on a very acceptable Republican message, and he did it very well.
And in terms of the Reagan Revolution, you write about the Reagan Revolution and how that later became the Trump Revolution. And when you say we should have seen it coming, one of the things that you mention is that there was an exhaustion to Reaganism that was happening before Trump seized the moment. Where did you see signs of that exhaustion, and was any of that renewed last night?
Well, you saw the signs from Pat Buchanan and Mike Huckabee and Sarah Palin and Ross Perot that there was a populist undercurrent running through the party. But I think in particular you saw it in a way in the turn toward Newt Gingrich in the 90s in the first instance, which it was to say that while Newt Gingrich was a very loyal Reagan conservative, he was also angrier and darker than Reagan was. You saw a turn in tone. But I think substantively you saw the turn on two big issues. One was the Tea Party movement, which was a grassroots Republican and conservative reaction to the government bailing out mortgage companies and homeowners and investment banks. And that was really a populist movement, and that was a had a huge imprint on the Republican Party. And the second one I point to in the book, and I think this may have been the biggest one of all, was an unresolved debate in the Republican Party about immigration. You know, Ronald Reagan was one of those Republicans who believed in the virtues and the economic benefits of immigration, and he talked about it a lot. He talked about it before he got into office, while he was in office, and he talked about it in a going-away interview that I remember having with him and a few journalists as he was leaving the White House. By the 1990s and certainly by the early 2000s, that view in the party had changed. The view that immigration was a net plus economically and culturally for America had changed, and you had, you know, you had a whole series of key Republicans, George W. Bush, Mitt Romney, John McCain, all tried to engineer immigration reform, and they all got burned in the process by their own people in their own Republican Party. And I think that was a sign, above all others, that something had changed in the mix.
And going forward, let's assume that immigration is not in a Trump second term. Is not a problem that's just going to disappear. If President Trump does get a second term, I want you, Gerald Seib, to elaborate based on your book and your conversations with the president and your reporting today. There's a piece by Gerald Seib in the Journal today, Trump Looks for Win with 2016 Strategy. Let's anticipate that and go forward and talk about some of the highlights and challenges of a second term for President Trump if he succeeds in winning this election. We'll continue the conversation with Gerald F. Seib. His new book is called We Should Have Seen It Coming. It features photographs of Ronald Reagan on the cover and of Donald J. Trump. The book is subtitled From Reagan to Trump, A Front Row Seat to a Political Revolution. It is posted at our website at michaelmedved.com. Right back with Gerald Seib of the Wall Street Journal.
Join in your daily dose of debate.
Join the debate by saying more crazy things.
The Michael Medved Show.
Woo! Okay.
1-800-955-1776. The Michael Medved Show.
Friends, have you had a chance to visit our partners at the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College? Faithandfreedom.com. They're the leading forum and think tank in the nation for the study and application of faith and freedom. In fact, Michael Medved visits Grove City College every year to be a part of their annual conference. He's spoken on a vast array of topics to hundreds of people at that conference. In fact, as you may know, he broadcasts this very show from their campus every year when he's there. It's always such an amazing time. Unfortunately, this year's conference was postponed due to the COVID-19 pandemic. But we here at the Medved Show encourage you to visit their website. They have all their past conferences available. You can watch Medved's talk along with many other engaging talks. Dr. Paul Kangor, Jonah Goldberg, Rick Santorum, Ryan Anderson, Robbie George, and many, many more. Visit them today at faithandfreedom.com to see the wonderful lectures from some of the brightest minds in America. Faithandfreedom.com. That's faithandfreedom.com.
I love good movies, like a romantic comedy called About Time from 7 years ago. It's a great movie about romance and about family, really, and father and son relations, much more. Problem with it is there's a little bit of content you may not want to share with your children. That's where ClearPlay comes in. When you purchase or rent movies from Amazon.com, particularly right now during this time of pandemic, ClearPlay can set you up to watch the movies you want to see without violence, without profanity, or without other content that you would choose to remove. You make the settings up yourself. It's truly ingenious. Go to clearplay.com to learn more. And you can enjoy About Time with Margot Robbie, Rachel McAdams, and more. Check it out at clearplay.com because ClearPlay loves good movies.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product. Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Michael Medved Show, joined by the Washington editor for the Wall Street Journal, Gerald Seib, who is the author of the new book, We Should Have Seen It Coming, From Reagan to Trump, A Front Row Seat to a Political Revolution. As I understand, there are 198 Republicans in the House right now. So in order to capture the House, they would have to win about 20 seats. Is that right, Gerald? Hello?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, hi.
That's the math. That's correct.
Okay, great. So in order to do that, it seems to me one of the things that was clearly missing from the convention last night, and certainly from President Trump's speech after he won the nomination, where he was basically riffing and focused a lot on mail-in balloting, which he doesn't like. Don't you think at some point it is likely that he will sketch out one, two, three, four, maybe five different goals for his second term that will actually talk about a new agenda, something different from just make America great again, maybe more specific? Isn't that likely? And basically trying to get the House candidates to sign on to that, a la the contract with America?
Well, everything you just said would be a normal, conventional way to approach this. But I have to say it's striking that the president hasn't gone down that path at all so far. There's been very little substantively about what he would do with a second term. In fact, when he was asked about it a few weeks ago, he basically didn't have an answer. He kind of filibustered a bit. And while I know there's a little team within the White House that's working on that question, what does a second term agenda look like, there's really not a lot of indication President Trump has thought about it all that much. So I'm not sure. Now, if there were to be one, and I hope there's discussion of it, in fact, I wish there had been more discussion of it on the Democrats' part last week, but, you know, you could think of some things to put on it. I mean, I do think there is an immigration reform deal to be done in a second term, and that should probably be done for the sake of both parties. I think President Trump would love to spend a lot of money building infrastructure, and Democrats would go along with that. He's a builder, after all. He probably does want to do that. And I suspect that he would like to continue the process of shrinking America's footprint in the Middle East. He talks about that a lot and has probably been somewhat frustrated in his inability to probably go as far in that direction as he wants. So there's some tick-off items you can put on that list for sure. I just don't know if the president's going to do it, because I think for his supporters, a lot of what they like about him is not policy but attitude. They like his attitude.
Well, part of the attitude that he expressed last time, as you point out, he said in 2016 in his acceptance speech, I will be the law and order candidate. Are we likely to hear more about that?
Oh, gosh. If he said it in 2016, he's going to say it, you know, multiple times over in 2020 because of the circumstances we're looking at. And, you know, it is striking. I didn't realize he had said that in his acceptance speech until I went back and looked over the weekend. And it's striking how many of the themes that he hits now, including that one, are still there. So there's a playbook from 2016 that can be rerun here, and it certainly includes law and order. It'll probably include immigration, although that's not quite as high on the list, and it will certainly include the idea that the Democrats are, you know, in the grip of a radical socialist wing of their party and are going to move in that direction. It is also true, I think, that the 2016 playbook that worked for the Trump campaign then is going to be replayed in tactical terms now, because their view of this election starts with essentially replaying the map of 2016 and winning as many of those four key states, Florida, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, as they can, and maybe try to throw into the mix a New Hampshire or a Minnesota that they didn't quite get last time. But there is a lot of what you're going to see both in the rest of this week at the convention and in through the fall campaign that's going to represent rerunning the 2016 campaign.
One of the things that you talk about in the book is that what made the Trump takeover of the Republican Party possible was a lot of prominent Republicans who hadn't really paid attention to the fact that there were literally tens of millions of people who weren't benefiting from Republican economic policies. And yeah, President Trump spoke to them very directly. What does he do? What's the focus for the second term to help that famous white working class?
Well, first, it's going to be more of the same. You know, I'm going to keep working on that trade deal with China, and it's going to work to your benefit. I think he's going to talk about things that conservatives don't like to talk about, which is basically using government power to help in manufacturing sectors and industries specifically. I think he'll talk about that as well. And I think he'll probably talk some about using tax breaks to benefit, you know, both workers who want to get, you know, who want to benefit from education, but also empowerment zones that are designed to bring manufacturing into distressed areas of the country. So I think, in particular, you're going to hear a continued emphasis on tougher trade agreements, protectionism and tariffs, if necessary, as the way to benefit those workers. That is not a new thing. It's going to be more of the same, I believe.
And what's the best opening for Joe Biden if he's talking about some vision for the future, which was not really laid out at the Democratic convention last week, as you point out? Where does Joe Biden find some breathing room to offer a constructive alternative?
Well, I think it starts with basically what the Democrats did emphasize last week, which is to be a calming influence. That's not a policy issue, obviously, but that's a sense that I think the Biden campaign has, that the country is looking for a respite. That, you know, they used the two terms over and over last week and are still doing it this week, chaos and crisis. That, you know, the critique of the Trump era is that over and above specific policies they disagree with, it's constant chaos. There's always an air of crisis, and people are just worn out by that. So that's where I think the Biden plan starts. But in terms of more substantive issues, I think that he has to convince people that he is, in fact, a Democrat and in parentheses here, unlike Hillary Clinton, who really understands the working class voter, who understands the classic hard hat, lunch pail Democrat, and who will do some things to help them. He talks about a $2 trillion green energy plan, Joe Biden does. But he almost talks about it as a FDR New Deal kind of jobs program as much as an environmental program. He talks about creating jobs. He never talks about a clean energy climate change program without also talking about jobs. And that's where I think his entry is here. It's using government power to help people who feel that they haven't been helped by Trump policies and Trump tax cuts and Republicans in general.
There were comments today by Al Gore, by Hillary, by Nancy Pelosi, others, all anticipating a contested election, an election without a clear winner. Do you think that's a real possibility, Gerald Seib?
I do. And I, you know, if you start from the premise that this race will tighten up, and that they almost always do, and you overlay the fact that there's going to be a kind of a messy voting process with many more mail-in ballots, which get counted slowly, and above all, overlay it with the Trump declarations that it's going to be rigged if he loses, you have the formula for a really tense, messy aftermath. And, you know, even in 2000, you know, when Al Gore can talk about that better than any of us, when none of those things really applied, but there was still an incredibly close election, and there was one state where the outcome was uncertain and was contested, Florida, you had a crisis that went on for weeks and it didn't end until the Supreme Court weighed in. Well, if that was true in 2000, we're looking at a much more complicated mosaic in 2020, and all kinds of things can happen that make this a messy outcome, not a clean end.
So I imagine there are folks who are probably working on the novel right now. But before anybody gets to that book, get to Gerald Seib's book, We Should Have Seen It Coming, From Reagan to Trump, A Front Row Seat to a Political Revolution. It's fascinating reading, and particularly when you talk about the populist origins of the Trump campaign. And President Trump first hearing about the idea of a populist insurgency in a meeting with Steve Bannon, who I don't think is going to be back as part of the Trump campaign anytime soon. Gerald Seib, thank you for your insight, for your illumination, and for your spectacularly spellbinding writing. And speaking of spellbinding, we'll be looking at some of the highlights in the Republican convention last night. Some that were truly inspiring, some that were puzzling, and much more coming up in This Greatest Nation on God's Green Earth.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Are you ready for what's next? It's likely coming. More food shortages, power outages, grocery stores closed, social unrest. Ask yourself, do you have enough food and supplies on hand to last at least 30 days? Most Americans do not. But you can. Avoid the panic of the last-minute rush. Order your 4-week supply of emergency food today from MyPatriotSupply.com. Starvation or dependency on the government are your only alternatives. Avoid those and the pain of being unprepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Build your emergency food supply with meals that last up to 25 years in storage, shipped discreetly to your door. Folks that know what's coming are using today to prepare. There's time for you to do the same. That's MyPatriotSupply.com, the original Patriot Preparedness Company. MyPatriotSupply.com.